afternoon. We would like to welcome you to the October 28th, 2020 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of this commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuity, and use of areas having special historical, cultural, and aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by the City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility, factor and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah's zoning ordinance are used by the board to determine the compatibility of the proposed changes and new development. Visually, from the street right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the local historic and conservation districts. The board cannot consider the criteria not specifically identified in the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and the interior arrangement of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuing or denying of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for decisions. Please turn off all cell phones. Please mute your mic until called upon to speak. And each board member must say their name when you speak and when you vote on an item. Will the members present please identify themselves by name for the record? Ms. Fenwick?
Rebecca Fenwick.
Mr. Lomanac?
Gary Lomanac here.
Ms. Clark? Mr. Jones?
Vernon Jones here.
And Kendra Clark is here.
Thank you. Virginia Mobley here. Ms. Jackson Green?
Elsie Jackson Green here.
Dr. Robin Williams. Mr. Bagley Heath. Ms. Wendell.
Present.
Thank you. Are there any members of the board who have seen are not seeing signs posted within a week of this meeting on the sites that are listed on the electronic agenda that was sent to you? Hearing none, do we need to vote on that item? Okay. We will move to the consent agenda. In the consent agenda, we are voting to accept the staff's recommendation for the projects that are from project 2 through 6 on the electronic agenda. The addresses are 300 West East Henry, 216 West Park Avenue, 15 West 37th, 22 East 38th, and 2401 Havisham Street. Do I hear any objections or concerns, or anyone asking that this be moved to the regular agenda? Hearing none, I ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
This is Jerry Lomanac. I will make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, including the staff recommendations.
Do I have a second?
This is Haley Swindle. I'll second.
Thank you. The motion is to accept the staff's recommendation for the items listed 2 through 6 on the consent agenda. I ask for those present to identify yourself and vote on the issue. Ms. Fenwick?
Approve.
Mr. Lomanac?
Approve.
Ms. Clark?
Approve.
Mr. Jones?
Approved.
Ms. Green, Jackson Green?
Approved.
Ms. Wendell?
Approved.
Mobley approved. Moving ahead on the agenda. I ask for a motion to accept the agenda as printed for October the 28th, 2020. Do I hear a motion? Can someone make a motion, please, so we can move ahead?
This is Jerry Lomanac. I hate to make all the motions. I make a motion that we approve the agenda as printed.
And a second, please.
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
If you want to, you can ask if there's anybody.
Is there anyone who objects to accepting the agenda as posted? Hearing none, I move that this motion is approved, and we will move on to the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes of the previous September 23rd, 2020 meeting?
Kendra Clark, I make a motion.
And a second, please.
Vernon Jones, I accept. Second the motion.
Do I hear any objections to accepting the minutes as written from the previous meeting of September the 23rd, 2020? Hearing none, the meeting minutes are approved, and we will move on to the continued agenda. These items are posted for information only. No action will be taken. It is the address of 2726 West Victory Drive, 301 West 33rd, 520 West 39th Street. All of these items have been asked to be held forward for till our next meeting. Do I have a motion to accept the consent of the continued agenda?
I will motion to accept the continued agenda.
Do I have a second?
This is Chelsea Jackson. I second that motion.
Do I hear that anyone is with comments opposing the acceptance of this continued agenda? Oh, okay. I've been asked to ask who made the motion and who seconded it.
Haley Swindle, I made the motion.
Chelsea Jackson Green, and I second the motion.
Thank you. Hearing no objections, we will move on to the regular agenda. The first item on the agenda is the Victorian District, a petition for 320 West Bolton Street, alterations and a fence.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. This is Ryan Jarles. The applicant is requesting approval for alterations and fences at 320 West Bolton Street. The applicant is proposing alterations to the rear facade of the contributing building. This includes the closing of two historic openings, one being a window opening and one being a door opening. The one window pairing is to be constructed in the location of that enclosed historic door opening, which is here. And then one window pairing is to be constructed in the location of the enclosed historic window. So this is the enclosed historic window and door, and what is proposed to go in their place. The applicant is also proposing an 8-foot in height privacy fence to be enclosed within the rear yard of 320 West Bolton Street, and is fully proposed within the property line. A 9-foot section, which I'll show you in just a second. There we go. A 9-foot section of this fence is proposed to run parallel to an adjacent building to the rear, with approximately only 2 feet 3 inches of distance between them. I'll just give you background on the building. It's this building here in the center of this small row. The building was constructed in 1884, and it is a contributing structure. As I said previously, the applicant is proposing a 9-foot in length section of the fence that is shown as running parallel to that building to the rear. The applicant has not formally requested a special exception to allow for the fence to run parallel to the adjacent building, and so staff is recommending denial of that 9-foot section of fence to the rear. The 8-foot in height wood privacy fence proposed within the property line, with the exception of that 9-foot portion that runs parallel to the adjacent building, is compatible and does meet the standards. And again, as previously mentioned, let me zoom out here. The applicant is proposing alterations to the rear facade of the contributing building. Again, the closure of a historic door opening and window opening, and replacement with the paired doors and paired windows to the rear. Staff has concerns about these changes. I'm going to go into that a little more when I get to the preservation standards in just a moment. And like I said, the applicant is proposing that rear privacy fence. That fence is proposed to be wood and is to be painted or stained, so staff found that that is compatible. The windows proposed to the rear, as well as the doors, are all Victor wood, and the windows are to be wood single pane and true divided lights. So those materials are compatible on contributing buildings. However, due to the location of the 8-foot privacy fence, being only 26 feet from the rear facade and almost 32 feet from the lane, the proposed alterations on the rear facade will be visible from the public right-of-way. And I'm just going to pull this picture up. The applicant actually had a small mock-up of this 8-foot fence constructed in their rear yard to show what you can see from the lane on the rear of the building. So as you can see in these photographs, and I'll scroll through, the historic openings are still visible from the public right-of-way, even after the 8-foot fence was constructed. So staff determined that, as I said, a large portion of these historic openings proposed to be removed will be visible from the public right-of-way. And so staff did not find that the preservation standards were met. The visibility of the historic door and window openings means that their removal and replacement with alternate openings, as seen here, would cause the loss of distinctive and character-defining features of the contributing structure. The preservation standards are set forth as a way to ensure that the historic features and finishes that do characterize a property are retained and preserved, and staff found that the closing of the historic door and window openings and construction of the new window and door openings will be visible from the public right-of-way and will not be a reversible action. So staff recommends denial of these alterations. And I didn't mention this before, but the applicant is also proposing a small raised deck to encompass essentially the entire area of their rear yard. This deck will not be visible from the public right-of-way, so it is not within our purview. However, staff asks that they ensure that all required permitting is undertaken with the City of Savannah's Development Services Department for that deck. Just to add a little more, we did receive comment from an adjacent property owner, and I can kind of go over their concerns, but it essentially are the same concerns that staff had. Most of their concerns being from portions that were actually removed from the original petition involving fences constructed on other people's property that the petitioner has removed from their request. But they do mention, again, the 9-foot section that runs parallel to their building. And they also mention that the fence as proposed does cut off their access, the neighbor's access to electrical service disconnects within this property. So it would cut off their access to that. So staff is recommending, let me show you here. Staff is recommending approval for the 8-foot in height wood privacy fence located within the rear boundaries of the property line at 320 West Fulton Street, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. The first condition being remove the 9-foot long portion of fence that is proposed to run parallel to the adjacent building to the rear, which should be removed in its entirety. The second being ensure that all required permits are received prior to constructing the rear deck. And staff is also recommending denial for the proposed alterations to the rear facade of 320 West Fulton Street because the work does not meet the standards and is not visually compatible. And I open for questions from the board.
Okay. Is the petitioner present, and would the petitioner like to respond to the staff recommendation?
We have to see if the board has any questions first. I apologize.
I thought that was after the...
This is Jerry.
I apologize.
I have one question.
And just a minute, Jerry. Okay. But we have to hear from the petitioner first. Is the petitioner present?
Yes. Hi, this is Shauna Casera. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We ask that you limit your comments to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board in a little bit.
Yes, ma'am. I would like to say thank you for listening to the petition. This is a very atypical property with an easement. I don't know if you saw the easement that leads back to the lane. And where we originally had fencing proposed within that easement, as Ryan mentioned, we have removed it. So, in that easement. So we are only asking for the fencing to be within our property. And then understanding that that 9-foot section of fence that's close to the residence to the north will have to be explored with other options. We'd like to communicate with the homeowner that owns that house and try to determine, you know, what works well for everyone. So I would propose to accept what staff is recommending regarding that 9-foot section and move forward with another alternative solution regarding the fence. Regarding the permitting of the deck and pool, yes, we will do that. There's also a proposal for the AC unit to be relocated to the roof. And Ryan, if you will go to page, let's see. Was it on the cover sheet, A00? Yes, there we go. Or on the elevation, you see the metal screening around the compressor relocated to the roof. So that's one thing I wanted to add to Ryan's report, just to make sure that everyone is aware that I'm proposing that. And then the big issue was replacement of the historic door and window with the proposed double openings. And I do understand where staff is coming from. Now that we've removed the fencing in the easement, our line of sight from the lane has changed, and that's why we did build this mock-up this week. So I can accept the maintenance of the existing fenestration on the rear.
Are there any public
I'm sorry, the last thing I wanted to mention is that the electrical service that is on this property that needs to be accessed by adjacent properties, that's something that we will also work out. We were not aware of that, but we will work through that with Georgia Power to ensure that the neighboring properties have access to their own disconnect.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Are there any public comments at this time? If so, we ask that you give us your name and limit your comments to 2 minutes. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. Also, would you please use the raise your hand attachment to the video call?
We have Ryan Arvey from the Historic Savannah Foundation.
Go ahead, please. Identify yourself and limit your comments to the items that have been presented.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and HBC board members. Thanks, Ryan. This is Ryan Arvey with Historic Savannah Foundation. Our Architectural Review Committee met this week and reviewed all projects on the agenda. I hope my comments are still in line with what is being proposed, because I was doing my best to follow along with some of the changes. Ultimately, we are in agreement with staff recommendations here. We believe that the alterations to the rear facade are not visually compatible, that they are still visible from the right of way, and they constitute too great a loss of historic fabric on that rear facade. Ryan, if you wouldn't mind being my cursor, if you would, on the existing elevation to the far left, there's a door, it looks like, on the far left of the building. Keep going to the very far left of the end of the building. Yep, right there. So based on that door and its placement and arrangement and its relation to the two windows, it looks like the door that they are recommending to remove is probably more the original opening. So that troubled us that door was the one being removed, and the skinnier one is the one that they were suggesting to retain. And we also don't think that the windows that are suggested are visually compatible. Thank you. And we just have an overall general concern about the loss of fabric on that building visible from the right of way. So we also would concur with staff recommendations about denial of the rear facade. Thank you very much.
We also have Bob Fisher.
Mr. Fisher,
yes.
Please go ahead. We ask that you give us your name and limit your comments to the issues at hand and limit them to 2 minutes, please.
Thank you. I'm the owner of the property at 320 West Bolton. And I think, Shauna, if you and I can get together, my only biggest concern was all the utilities that are running through the yard that service all the buildings there. And with the pool and everything else going in, I'm just concerned that they'll, we can't afford the bakery and our tenants to get cut off from electric or anything, or sewer or water. But I think Shauna and I can work that out.
Thank you. Are there any questions of either the staff or the petitioner from members of the commission? We ask that there will be two rounds of 2 minutes each to ask questions. We ask that you identify yourself before you ask the question. Ms. Fenwick,
I am recusing myself from this review as I have a stake in the project. My company is working with the applicant.
Okay. Mr. Lomanac?
The only comment I have is that removing that 9-foot high fence on that little alleyway, something has to go there in order to build a pool, because the pool is supposed to be protected from people being able to get to it. So something's going to have to go back there, or the pool's going to have to go one. So it's just a comment.
Ms. Clark?
No questions or comments at this time.
Mr. Jones?
No comment.
Ms. Jackson Green?
I have no comment at this time.
Ms. Swindell? Ms. Swindell, are you present? Virginia Mobley, I have a question. In the staff report, was the location of the air conditioning compressor on the roof considered, and is it visually compatible with the standards?
Shauna did point out that staff failed to include that, so it was not included within the report.
So,
but it would not meet the standard because it is located on the roof.
If we vote to accept the staff recommendation, are we approving that air conditioning unit, or does it have to come back as a separate unit?
You would have to add it as a condition, or you could add it as a condition to not be included within the final approval.
Okay. I'm going to go back through the list for our second round. Mr. Lomanac?
Robin Williams is here. Virginia, Robin Williams is here.
No additional comments.
Ms. Clark?
No additional comment.
Mr. Jones?
No comments.
Ms. Jackson Green?
I have no further comments.
Dr. Williams, thank you for joining us. Have you heard this presentation, and are you up to speed on what's going on?
Yes, I've been listening, and I've been here for probably about 10 minutes or so. So I've heard enough, and I have no comments.
Ms. Swindell?
I have no comments.
Okay. This closes the discussion, and I ask for a motion, please. This is on 320 West Bolton Street.
This is Chelsea Jackson Green, and I make a motion to approve staff recommendations for removing the 9-foot portion of the fence, as well as ensuring that the permits are received prior to constructing the rear deck, as well as the denial for the alterations to the rear facade.
Do I have a second?
Kendra Clark, I second that motion.
Is there any discussion on the motions?
I have a question. So for Ryan, Ryan Charles. So since the motion did not make any reference to the air conditioner, where does that leave the status of the air conditioner?
It would be approved at that point.
I just want to make sure that the motion is understood that it will tacitly, because it's not mentioned among the staff recommendations either, even though Ryan mentioned that it would be denied if they had included it, do we want to amend the motion to address the air conditioner?
I think we would have to take a vote on the first motion, and if it fails, then we would come back and make an amendment to the motion to approve staff's recommendation with the exclusion of the air conditioning unit. Yes. Yes. Do I have any discussion on that matter, or does the petitioner, does the commission member who made the original motion like to amend their motion?
This is Chelsea Jackson Green. So are we still have to take a vote on the original, or can I just amend the motion now?
You can amend the motion now.
Okay. Well, then this is Chelsea Jackson Green for the record, and then I make a motion to approve the recommendation of removing the 9-foot portion of the fence, and as well as ensuring that all required permits are received prior to the construction of the rear deck. This approval does not include the air conditioning unit, and we recommend the denial for the proposed alterations to the rear facade.
Do I have a second on the amended motion?
I'll second that, Robin Williams.
Thank you. We will now take a vote. Mr. Lomanac?
Approve.
Ms. Clark?
Approve.
Mr. Jones?
Approve.
Ms. Mobley, approved. Ms. Jackson Green?
Approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
Ms. Wendell?
Approved.
The motion passes as so stated. Thank you. Okay. We're not into, was there only one item in the Victorian district? Okay. Moving on to the streetcar district. It is a petition for 2424 Abercorn Street. And staffs, would you make a recommendation, please?
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. This is Aslan Drosky, and I will be presenting the petition for alterations to the rear and southern side facade of 2424 Abercorn Street, also known as Mood Rights. 2424 Abercorn Street is a non-contributing structure within the Streetcar Historic District. For this property, the applicant is proposing new openings on the southern side facade for a series of 6 square accent windows, the removal of an existing storefront system at the rear and replacement with an overhead garage door, and a new opening for a passage door in the middle of the rear exterior wall. Additionally, the applicant is proposing the installation of a breeze block wall in the rear, as well as a pergola and trellis in order to create a rear exterior courtyard. This courtyard will not remove any of the existing rear parking on the site, and the applicant has indicated that the purpose of these proposed alterations is to allow patrons outdoor access in the rear to operate more responsibly in a COVID-19 environment. The new openings will be towards the rear of the southern side facade and are to be square HMF Express 1-hour fire rated accent windows, and I will get into those a little bit more detail in a moment. The existing rear storefront system, which you can see here, will be removed and replaced with a Wayne Dalton overhead garage door, which can be seen here. The overhead garage door will be a coiling glass system in an aluminum frame with a steel plate header. The exterior courtyard wall will be a breeze block, and it will be in this top circular pattern. The breeze block wall will be on either side of the new rear passage door, and a freestanding, as I mentioned, wooden pergola will be on the right side of the courtyard to provide shade. The new rear passage door will be a metal door with a decorative diamond inset. If I can zoom in a bit here. As you can see here on the front, there is an existing front door with a decorative diamond inset. However, this door was installed prior to the existing Streetcar Historic District overlay. As it stands in the existing ordinance, diamond insets indoors are prohibited. So staff is requesting that the door be revised to exclude this diamond inset prior to submitting final drawings to staff for permitting, but otherwise finds that the new openings and materials proposed are visually compatible. With regards to the design standards, the proposed windows are to be a series of 6 3-feet by 3-feet square accent windows. These windows are to be fixed windows with a 1-hour fire rated glass. This glass type is a requirement of the building code due to the proximity of the property line and a lack of an internal automatic sprinkler system for this property. Existing refuse storage is in the proposed location of the rear courtyard, which you can see here. A new refuse storage was not specified in this application. The applicant has acknowledged the standard for the refuse storage over email communications with staff, but staff would like to ensure that the new refuse location is located within the building or to the side rear and is screened from the public right of way. The exterior courtyard wall is proposed to be 3 feet 4 inches at its tallest point and 2 feet 8 inches for the longest sections. It will not extend past the rear facade on either side and is to be constructed of a concrete breeze block. This material is not listed as a permitted material for walls. However, it is not prohibited and staff finds that the concrete material is appropriate and meets the intent of the ordinance. So staff's recommendation is approval of the alterations to the southern side and rear facade of Mood Rights located at 2424 Abercorn Street with the following conditions because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that would be 1, revise the rear passage door to exclude the decorative diamond inset prior to submitting the final drawings to staff to stamp for permitting. And 2, to ensure the refuse storage is located within the building or to the side rear of the building and is screened from the public right of way. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is the applicant present?
Yes, I am. This is Jason Summers. I'm present.
We ask that you limit your presentation to 10 minutes or less and address only the items inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. We also ask that you identify yourself, please.
Yes, ma'am. This is Jason Summers with JDR Construction. We've reviewed the staff's recommendation, and we have no objection.
Are there any public comments? Hearing that there are no public comments, I will open it up for board discussion. There will be 2 rounds of 2 minutes each to ask questions of staff and petitioners. Ms. Fenwick, do you have any questions or concerns?
I do not. Thank you.
Mr. Luminac?
No questions or concerns.
Ms. Clark?
No questions or concerns.
Mr. Jones?
No questions.
Ms. Jackson-Green?
Hi, I only have 1 question. If the building is not contributing, but the door, rear passage door is not allowed to have the decorative diamond inset, I guess I'm just confused how that's taking away from the standards, or if there is, I'm trying to look back through the document to, oh, sorry, there it is. Thank you, Edith, for pulling that up. Oh, I see. Shall not have a decorative diamond or half moon inset. Okay, never mind. Thank you.
Dr. Williams?
Yeah, I was also concerned about this, and I was wondering if staff could actually show me on their drawings or in the photos an example of what you're talking about. I'm trying to understand the problem and also why, as a non-contributing building, this standard would apply. So show me the, first of all, where these diamond inset. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the diamond inset is proposed to be right here, and even though it's not a, so because it's not a historic building, it just doesn't adhere to the preservation standards, but the standard here is for alterations to non-contributing resources, so they are prohibited.
So if this building, which is a mid-century modern building, had a door like that, it would be grandfathered in?
Yes, the door that is on the front of the building was prior to this existing ordinance.
Right. And but they're proposing this, the door in question is a new, is an existing door or a new door?
No. So the door in question is going to be a new opening. So this is an entirely new opening. Okay. And I can show you.
That's right. Okay.
Yes.
Even though that diamond opening is compatible with the design aesthetic of this building. It may not be compatible with the district, but it is compatible with this building.
This is Leah. I'm just going to step in real quick. We don't disagree with you, but the ordinance strictly prohibits a diamond pattern. They could, okay, if they want to push the issue, apply for a special exception back to you all. And I do think that is something that staff would support, obviously, because it's a mid-century modern building with a pre-existing diamond door on the front. This standard was mostly meant to, if you see the other one that's prohibited, it's that half moon feature.
Right.
And that there was, you know, there was a proliferation of inappropriate doors, obviously, at one point, and that's the purpose of the standard. But it doesn't sound like, I mean, you all can ask the contractor, but it doesn't sound like they want to push the issue of the diamond door and apply for a special exception, but they do have that option.
Okay, it just seems to me that, you know, I fully understand you don't want diamond and half moon doors put on buildings that were not mid-century modern. But here we have a mid-century modern building, which it is what it is, whether the district would normally allow it or not. But it just seems, especially since there is one on the building, I'd be interested to know. I mean, it's
disagree. It's just right. It's very specific in the, yep, in the ordinance, and you all can vary that only if a special exception is requested.
Yeah. No, and this seems to be perhaps a case, and I'd be if perhaps the petitioner might not be aware of those special exception circumstances, so it might be worth asking the petitioner.
Ms. Swindell, do you have any comments or questions?
Hi, I don't have any questions or comments.
This is Virginia Mobley, and I do have a concern and a question. There has been no placement of the refuge containers or the cylinders used for draft distribution. I don't know whether that's considered a utility or whether it is considered just a thing. Where on this property do they propose putting these items? I think that's before we can approve a design, I think that is a main concern.
Yes, so staff had that concern as well. So it is listed as a condition under the recommendation. And this condition will mean that the applicant will have to meet the standard that ensures that refuse storage is located within the building or to the side rear and is screened from public right of way. But you're welcome to ask the applicant if they have plans.
Does the applicant have plans?
Yes, ma'am. This is Jason Summers speaking. We're working with that through the design and working with the building department on the required parking to see how we can carve out an area for the refuge.
May I ask another question? Is your, are you going to have parking in the rear? I mean, it looked like the proposed area encompassed all of your property.
There will be places in the rear. Currently, the parking lanes are longer than what's required. So we're looking to take the area that's not required and carve out some outdoor courtyard area.
Okay. Okay, going through the agenda again, the commission again, Ms. Fenwick, any comments? Mr. Lomanac?
I think Dr. Williams raised an interesting issue there. And I think that that we have to use a certain amount of reasonableness, I think, in interpreting the ordinance. And staff may not have that leeway, but there's no way that an ordinance can be written, particularly if it has design guidelines in, that covers every situation that exists in any given location. And that whether that diamond window's there or not, a diamond pattern, it's no big deal, I don't think, either way. But I do think we have to, be rational in decisions we make. And if we feel like an exception is worthy, then I think we should go ahead and.
Is this a question or is this a comment?
The comment, I think.
Okay. I didn't know if it was because staff has addressed it as to how they can address the standard that is in the ordinance.
Right. You can't just grant them a special exception. They have to apply for a special exception and pay the $300 fee. And then you all have to. I don't disagree that this is probably a case for a special exception, but one has not been requested or evaluated or paid for in this case. So they would have to come back with that request.
That costs more than the door, probably.
Ms. Clark, any comments or questions?
No, ma'am, not at this time.
Mr. Jones?
Comments.
Ms. Jackson Green?
I have no further comments.
Dr. Williams?
No further comments.
Ms. Wendell?
No further comments.
Excuse me, Ms. Fenwick, I passed over you rather quickly. Do you have any comments?
I was just going to say I echoed Robin's thoughts from before.
Okay, that completes the board discussion. Do I have a motion from the board on this item?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I motion to approve the agenda
this
item.
This is Vernon Jones. I second.
Your motion is to approve the staff recommendations. Is that correct, or are you altering those?
No, I motion to approve the project as submitted with staff recommendations at 2424 Abercorn Street.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I call for a vote on a motion to accept the staff recommendations on 2424 Abercorn Street. Ms. Fenwick, how do you vote?
Approve.
Mr. Lomanac?
Approve.
Mr. Jones?
Approve.
Ms. Clark?
Approve.
Ms. Green Jackson?
It's Jackson Green. And
I'm sorry, Ms. Jackson Green.
It's okay. I approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
Ms. Wendell?
Approved.
The petition passes with the staff recommendations. We are moving on to item 14, 112 West 31st Street.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. I am Olivia Arfuso. I will be presenting the petition for the after-the-fact rehabilitation work at 112 West 31st Street. The applicant is also requesting approval for the alteration of the front porch balustrade and the installation of a privacy fence, parking, and lighting. So on the front of the building, the siding has been repaired and replaced in kind with wood boards. The siding has also begun being painted an ivory color called Dove White by Benjamin Moore. The shingle roof was replaced with in-kind architectural shingles. The applicant has left the historic window openings on the front and side facades of the building untouched, and Victor Historic Series wood windows are proposed to be installed. On the rear of the building, the eastern rear porch was reconstructed to match the existing porch on the west. It was constructed of wood boards and posts and measures approximately 8 feet by 5 feet 2 inches. The handrails are 40 inches in height. Staff has determined that the height of the railing does not adhere to the standards for porches, stoops, balconies, and decks that says that the railing shall not exceed 36 inches. Two new porch doors have been installed on the rear that are clad wood with a centrally located large glass panel. The rear window openings have been altered. Three smaller vinyl 1/1 windows have been installed. Each window unit individually measures 36 inches tall by 24 inches wide. So an image taken of the property in July 2020 shows various window sizes on either side of the firewall with non-historic vinyl window types installed. Therefore, staff has determined that the rear window openings have been altered over the years and are no longer historic. Staff finds the installation of three smaller window openings visually compatible to the overall rhythm and solid to void ratio of the contributing building. However, the use of vinyl windows on a contributing building is not visually compatible and also prohibited within the streetcar historic district. On the front of the building, the applicant has proposed the existing porch balusters be replaced with square wood balusters. Staff referred to an image from a 1994 survey that shows the original front porch with square balusters. Square-shaped balusters are also visible on neighboring buildings. Therefore, it is staff's determination that the current balustrade is non-historic and the installation of square balusters on the front porch is appropriate and visually compatible. On the side and rear of the building, the applicant has proposed the installation of a 6-foot wooden privacy fence. The fence is proposed to enclose the side and rear yards and create a privacy barrier between the two units in the rear. Two gates are proposed to be installed on either side of the property to allow for access to the side yard from the front of the building. Two gates are also proposed in the rear to allow for access to the parking area. And a 20-foot setback from the rear property line is proposed to allow for on-site parking accessible from the lane. For lighting, Allen and Roth Birchwood cast aluminum outdoor lights are proposed to be installed on both the front and rear of the building. So just for some context, the duplex was constructed in 1904 and is visible on the 1916 Sanborn map as a one-story frame building with tin roofing. A one-story shared front porch is noted and two individual rear porches. The duplex sits toward the rear property line with a deep front yard setback. By the 1955 Sanborn map, the duplex has been moved to its current location at the front of the parcel, and the roofing material has changed to composition. Two one-story automotive garages are constructed in the rear of the lot, where the duplex was originally located. While reviewing this application, staff also referred to the Savannah Cadastral Survey from December 1936, which supported the information provided in the Sanborn maps. By the 1994 Georgia Historic Resources Survey, the duplex has been altered. The roof has been replaced with shingles, and the siding is vinyl and aluminum. However, the windows are noted as still being double-hung sash wood windows with a flat head and a 3-over-1 light configuration. Therefore, staff recommends approval for the after-the-fact rehabilitation work, including the alteration of window openings on the rear facade and the reconstruction of a rear porch, the alteration of the front porch balustrade, the installation of a privacy fence, parking and lighting at 112 West 31st Street, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. So to remove the vinyl windows on the rear facade and install the Victorbilt Historic Series wood windows that are proposed for the front and side facades of the building, or a window type previously approved by the board. Ensure that the proposed windows are double hung, single pane, true divided light. Staff recommends the use of 3-over-1 light pattern visible in the 1994 resources survey. Ensure that all window framing members are covered with appropriate trim. Ensure that the porch balusters do not exceed 4 inches on center and reduce the height of the railing so that it does not exceed 36 inches. Ensure that all proposed lighting has a white light source. Provide staff with the specifications of the proposed gates for review and approval. And ensure that there is a minimum of 5 feet between the fence and any parallel buildings, and that the fence is painted or stained. Thank you, and I now open for any questions.
Is the petitioner present?
Hello, yes, this is Aaron Bantosh, the petitioner.
Thank you, sir. Would you please identify yourself and limit your comments to 10 minutes or less and address only those items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board?
Sure, thank you so much. Yes, I have reviewed the recommendation and am happy to comply. The only question I have is number two, the proposed windows, double hung, single pane. At one point I had discussed with somebody at the MPC that the 1-over-1s, the Victorbilt 1-over-1 windows would be okay. I'm in kind of a predicament here, you know, because of back orders and, you know, I had already purchased the appropriate Victorbilt 1-over-1 windows for the front and the sides, the historic windows. So to go back now and to do the 3-over-1s would really cause me an issue. I would request or propose allowing me to use 1-over-1s on the front and on the side. Everything else I am fine with and I'm willing to comply, of course, because all the neighboring properties, a lot of those properties do have 1-over-1s. I never saw these images, and the most research, you know, that I could do was going back, you know, couple of years. And of course, when I purchased this house, there were vinyl windows and mismatched windows. So I did ask somebody at MPC what they would recommend. And I thought we had come to kind of an understanding that 1-over-1s would comply. So I'm just asking that I can keep 1-over-1 windows on the front and on the side and in those 3 on the back as well. So going back now and ordering 3-over-1s would cost me a fortune. I know that's probably not any of your concern, but it would really
be a mess for me. So I hope you could, you know, somebody would understand that. Can anybody comment on that, please?
Staff's just recommending that. One over one is fine in new openings, but in the historic openings, we are recommending the 3 over 1 that is seen in the historic photo in the resources survey.
Okay, so I'm confused. So 1 over 1, I can, you want three over ones in the back or 3 over 1s in the entire house?
Staff is recommending that the windows match the historic configuration. New openings don't have to. In fact, these ones don't have to, but that's what staff is recommending. So ultimately, it's up to the board whether you're going to require okay. 3 over 1, but that's what staff's recommendation is.
Okay. Thank you so much. So I'm just asking if we could do 1 over 1s. And everything else I'm completely fine with and willing to comply, which is ask board if they would help me out with doing the 1 over 1s, please. Thank you. That's it.
Are there any public comments? If so, would you please raise your hands and limit your comment to 2 minutes? Hearing none.
Ryan
there
Arbe.
Is one. Okay. Go ahead. Please identify
Thank you,
yourself.
Chairwoman. Yes, this is Ryan Arve with Historic Savannah Foundation. I just want to say that we are glad to see this house being worked on. It's a great house, and great to see those asbestos shingles removed and the wood siding repaired. So we think there's a lot of commendable things about the project. We do think that some of the changes that were unapproved are regrettable. It is an established local district, and as such, we believe that the standards of that district should be upheld. I mean no disrespect, but I know that the applicant is well familiar with this neighborhood and those boundaries as one having done many historic homes. And so we really do feel it is appropriate for the HPC to uphold those high preservation standards by not only requiring proper materials, approved materials. I think on the rear of the house, our ARC feels that there's plenty of historic precedent on the rest of the home for the type of window openings that most likely would have been on the rear of the house. It's a fairly straightforward process by which you can determine through old framing where those windows were, especially with the repair of the siding. And we feel that in addition to replacing the type of window or the material, that windows more consistent with the rest of the house be installed on the rear. And other than that, we are in total agreement with staff recommendations, including the 3 over 1 windows. Thank you.
Are there any other public comments? Would the petitioner like to respond to the public comments?
Yes, please. Thank you, Ryan, and I do understand your concerns. Again, when I purchased this house, and no disrespect, you know, to you, of course, I respect you fully, but there was no way to determine the window openings in the back. It was impossible. I mean, you could see in those photos, if you'll go back to those photos, thank you so much. When I purchased this home, they had put a door to nowhere in the middle. Which goes up to in the middle of the firewall. You've got a casement opening to the left, another mis-sized window to the right. I think like Olivia had stated, there were so many windows there that were mis-sized. There was no way to determine where the window openings were. And by looking at the contributing properties to the left and to the left, that house has got completely nothing historic. The other houses down the lane, I did find 3020 windows that are exactly this size. Again, there was no way for me to determine where the windows openings were in the back. And I think I did a really good job keeping the exact window openings on the front of the house and on the east and west side of the house exactly the same and in complete compliance. But on the back of this house, it was a total disaster. I mean, a tree had fallen on the roof. The whole back was completely demolished. It hadn't been lived in probably 7 years. I mean, again, I did my best. I mean, there was mobile home stairs going in the back. I mean, it was a complete disaster. So I hate to say it was really impossible for me to determine where those windows were in the back. And also the way the roof is pitched too with the header heights, there is no way for me to get larger windows there anyway. Where these old windows are, someone had cut into the existing header, cut in through the firewall and up into the attic. So it was completely compromised. That whole entire back of the house was completely compromised. And what we did, to the best we could in the back, I mean, so, you know, I don't know what else to tell you, except there was no way to determine where those window openings were in the back. It was impossible. Okay. And there's no way to get any windows that are higher here. If I can make one more comment, at the top of these windows here, that's where the header is. The back, that's the kitchen area. That middle window would be where the sink would go when we do design the kitchen. And there's no way to raise these windows or get any larger windows because of the header heights. Below the window would be the countertop space in the kitchen. So it's very hard to like I said, to do anything differently.
Made a very good point, but we have to move on with the agenda.
Okay.
The discussion is open to the board. I will again ask you to limit your comments to 2 minutes, and we will have 2 rounds. Ms. Fenwick?
Yes, and I have a question for staff. We seem to be not doing the prior staff board time, and that's fine, but what is the nature of this after the fact? I mean, how did it get to this point? Was a building permit pulled? I know we looked in one other instance and in a previous meeting at new construction where there was an issue, you know, kind of at development services. So I'm just curious about that. And then I also have a second question, which is regarding the architectural shingles. And are architectural shingles allowed as part of historic rehab work in this district?
So this is Leah. I can answer the first question for you. We found out about this work when the City of Savannah Development Services office called us to tell us that they had done this work without approval when they were trying to get building permits. So that's how we found out.
So the permits were applied for after work had begun?
Correct. The answer to the second question is that if the building has shingle on it already, it can be replaced with shingle. If the historic metal roof is still in place and is not salvageable, it has to be replaced with matching metal roof.
But specifically architectural shingles, which I don't personally think are compatible, those are approvable.
The just says asphalt shingles. It doesn't specify between architectural or a 3-tab or anything like that.
Okay. I think my last comment would just be that I don't think the windows that have been installed on the rear are compatible. The set of three small double hungs, I don't think that would have been historically what was there. And I would also just say generally that, I mean, I'm very concerned with the fact of this being an after the fact approval. I'll leave it at that for now.
Mr. Lomanet.
I certainly agree with Rebecca's comments about the after the fact approval. I don't understand how that could have happened or how a permit could have been issued. Did I understand? It was not issued. Okay, it was issued after the fact as well, or it has not been issued. There's no permit at this point?
Correct, there's no permit.
There is a permit at this point. There is a permit.
For the roof and the siding, right?
For the demo. So going back to this that a lot of people don't see, when I purchased the house, Okay, you couldn't even see the back. A tree had fallen, and I did send you some pictures of that, Leah. The whole entire back of the house was exposed, okay? The roof was collapsed in. The whole back of the house was completely, like I said, no one has lived there for 10 years, okay? The house in the back, all the siding was pulled off, and I did send you the pictures and some of the other, you know, where the tree had fallen into the roof. So I determined, and I have done this dozens of times, and again, I do know the rules and regulations, but look where look at the roof. Look right there. The water was coming. I had to make a determination to tear off the siding, get rid of those windows, rebuild that back deck before this house collapsed. The prior owner had cut in to the header, put a door to nowhere, all those windows in, compromised the entire back portion of this house. I know exact. I can promise you and assure you my permit has been applied for months. Jennifer Fleck.
Can I stop you right there, sir? We appreciate your effort to explain your circumstances, but we are looking at the ordinance and what is being presented to us that is addressed in the ordinance. And I have to move on with the agenda. So I will, I believe we left off with Ms. Clark. Do you have any questions or comments?
I think my main comments are, I also am concerned about the fact that this is coming to us after work has already been done. And I do agree that the three windows are not consistent in the back, are not consistent with the historical photos, but even the picture we look at from when they were removing the tree, it's clear that it was a single window in the back rather than the three. So it's not even consistent with what was there when he bought it. So, that's all I have at the moment.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jones, do you have any comments or questions? Mr. Jones, did you respond? I'm sorry if I cut you off.
Oh, there's no comment at the moment.
Okay. Ms. Jackson Green?
I have no comments at this time.
Dr. Williams?
I have a question for staff. There's that one photo you show of the three light upper sash window, the historic photo, I think it was from 94 that showed that one. But do you have evidence that the side windows were three over ones or just the front?
We only have an image of the front. We don't have an image of the sides.
So there's no tangible, I mean, it's entirely possible that the front was more dressed up with these three light over one, and the sides conceivably could have been a different light pattern historically. So I guess one thought would be if the petitioner has one over ones for all of the windows and staff's requiring them to replace them even on the sides with three over one, but there's no evidence that three over ones existed on all facades. And so maybe the standard in this context should be to apply that expectation only to the front facade.
Yeah, there are no existing windows right now.
Right. So we don't know what was there. And so it might be looking at what
the staff's recommendation says on the front facade.
I thought it was for all windows, just on the front? On the front facade. Oh, my apologies. I see you've got highlight there. Okay, so it's really we're just talking about two windows. If the petitioner ordered one over ones for the whole building and he's concerned about having to order I think what I heard him say was he can't afford to order new windows for the whole building, but what you're asking is just basically two windows. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so I have no further comments other than to, you know, say that it's not exactly as the petitioner characterized in his comment.
Ms. Swindell, do you have any comments or questions?
I have, I think I may have missed it with all the discussion, but would it serve him a better purpose to request for an exception since he's done the windows already or since he's bought them already? I think that was my question.
No.
Okay, we will go through the second round. Ms. Fenwick, do you have any further comments or questions?
Yes, I would say I'm inclined to uphold all of staff's recommendations and actually require the 3/1 on the front facade. I think the petitioner stated that he had done work like this dozens of times, and that has me very concerned about the permitting and the COA process, and if there is disregard for that, or what the nature is about, you know, why the normal processes weren't followed in this case. That's all.
Thank you. Mr. Lomanac, any comment?
Matter of fact, I think I got cut off before I had my 2 minutes worth last time because the applicant responded to my comment. I don't have anything to add to that one, but another thing that has come up on this one again, which I think is incorrect, and I know it's in the ordinance, is this placing of balusters at 4 inches on center, which is too close. I assume they will be 2x2, which is 1.5 inches, leaving only 2.5 inches between the balusters, which is not enough. It makes them much too close together, and it's historically inappropriate. And I take exception to that being in the ordinance, the way it is worded, and I don't think it was ever intended to be worded that way. So I would recommend that requirement, they be placed 4 inches on center, be changed to 4 inches apart, shall not exceed 4 inches apart between balusters. That's my only comment.
I'm just going to back that up, and that's one of the other things that we've talked about you know, having to apply for a text amendment to change the ordinance. So if there's a list of items we want to get together, but to make some recommendations for text amendments to the MPC, it has to go through that process. So if there's a couple of things we want to start getting together to set that in motion, let's do it.
Well, I think to require the applicant to spend $300 to go for an exception on that would be when it's not correct anyway.
I don't disagree, but we have to change it via text amendment through the MPC board and the city council.
I will not vote in favor of the 4-inch on center on any petition.
Ms. Clark, any comments or questions?
No further comments or questions at this time.
Mr. Jones?
Yes, just in light of everything that has been said, and this question is just being thrown out there, does this board have the way of giving him this exception for these windows at this point?
No, sir, we do not, because that is not how the ordinance is written, and we have to follow the ordinance as written. A text amendment or a special exemption would have to be applied for.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm going to clarify something again. You cannot get a special exception for vinyl windows. They're prohibited by the ordinance.
I think we were still talking about the banisters.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. I thought you said the windows.
You're correct. I was talking about the windows. But okay. Thank you for putting it up on both sides.
Ms. Jackson Green?
No further comments, Virginia.
I'm sorry about the name. Dr. Williams?
I'm inclined to agree with Jerry Lomanac on the baluster width. So just for clarification, if he or someone else made a motion that omitted staff recommendation 4, number 4 regarding the spacing, where would that leave the porch balusters?
It's a specific design ordinance as the ordinance is written. We cannot change that. We would have to present, or the petitioner would have to present, or someone in the public would have to present for a text amendment to the current ordinance.
Okay. No further comment. I'm not going to go.
Ms. Swindell?
No further comment.
No further discussion is needed. I would like to have a motion on how this commission feels. Do I hear a motion, please?
I, Haley Swindell, I will go ahead and make a motion to move forward with the staff approvals. I don't have the list of all of them. I'm sorry.
Okay. With the following conditions that they have listed on the staff report?
Yes.
Do I have a second?
Kendra Clark, I second that motion.
Is there any discussion on the motions?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I would propose to amend the motion to require the 3/1 light pattern on the front facade.
Do I have a second on that?
Isn't that already part of the recommendation?
Pardon?
Isn't that already part of the recommendation?
Yes, it is.
It's a recommendation. It's not required.
So are you asking that the motion be amended to require the 3/1 pattern on the front facade?
I am.
Does the
I second that amendment.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the amended motion? Hearing none, I call for a vote. Ms. Fenwick?
Approve.
Mr. Lomanac?
Approve.
Ms. Clark?
Approve.
Mr. Jones?
Approve.
Ms. Jackson Green?
Approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
Ms. Swindell?
Approve.
Ms. Mobley? Approved. Thank you. We will move on to item 15, 2602 Barnard Street. And staff's presentation, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. This is Leah. The applicant is requesting approval for construction of two new accessory structures, a pool, multiple fences. Sorry, I meant to have this drawing up. Multiple fences and a driveway for the property located at 2602 Barnard Street. The applicant is also requesting special exceptions from 6 design standards as follows. 1, new accessory structure shall be located in the rear yard to allow the guest house in the side yard here. Fences or walls no more than 3 feet in height shall be installed within the front yard to allow a 4-foot wall here. Fences or walls shall no more than 8 feet in height may be installed within the side or rear yards behind the front facade of the building to allow for a 10-foot wall here. Parking areas shall be located in the rear yard, except for single family and 2-family dwelling units, which may also provide parking in the side yard behind the face of the front facade of the dwelling to allow parking forward in the front yard forward of the front facade. A driveway shall be permitted from the street, provided it's a ribbon strip design. So this is not a ribbon strip design. And the area between the strip shall be planted with grass or plants. To allow for a parking area in the front side yard, in the side yard forward of the front facade of the single family dwelling, which is not a ribbon strip design. The historic building was constructed circa 1900 and is a contributing resource within the streetcar district. The contributing resource map actually also shows an outbuilding in the side yard. However, the building no longer exists. So we did some research on this because we were obviously concerned about what happened to the building that just disappeared. So this is from 2007. You can see here the building that we're talking about. And we went did further research, and by 2016, it is gone from here. However, it does not appear on the 1973 Sambor map. So we figure it was probably built sometime after 1973, was demolished about 2016. So fortunately, at least it was a non-contributing. We just wanted to point that out. So we determined at least it wasn't a historic outbuilding. So, but that also shows that there was an outbuilding in the side yard in this location previously. With regard to this curb cut here that you can see in the front yard, we don't know how long this curb cut has existed. It's been a long time. We don't know, obviously. There was never a driveway, as you can see here. It's just a curb cut and an apron. There was never even dirt or gravel or anything like this until the February 2017 view here. Oops, here, where it suddenly appeared. Staff did look through the permit system for that time, and there was not a driveway permit, and therefore, obviously, there was not a certificate of appropriateness application for this driveway here, and this was pre-existing. In the 1916 Sanborn map, it's very tiny. This is the property, and here there was an auto garage facing the east-west street, which used to be called Best, but is 41st Street now, I believe. So clearly, historically, and now, in fact, the access to the parking area was always from the east-west street and not from the front yard. As you go into the 50s, you can see that here. And then 1973, actually, everything was gone. I do want to go through these street views again just to show you how the building changed, because staff, again, could not locate any COAs in the system at all for this property. However, since 2007, and as you all know, an ordinance for this district has been in place since 2005, somehow the building still went through a complete rehabilitation, and the outbuilding was demolished without any COAs. You can sort of see its evolution here. Even at one point, the outbuilding was resided here. You can see the building sort of slowly transforming. Even a new apron was poured here, new porch. And then we get to this one. Yeah, and you can see the stickers on the windows, which means they were replaced, and all the Belgian block had been painted. And you can see this driveway starting to appear here. And you can see the degradation of the apron as time goes on, too. So I just thought those were important to point out. With regard to visual compatibility and the height of the accessory structures that are proposed, the two new accessory structures are proposed to be 10 feet and 9 feet high. The side yard garden wall here, and this is the elevation of it, is proposed to be 8 foot on the ends. And you can see it ramps up to 10 in the middle, and this will help screen the accessory structures. They're proposed to be minimally visible from the public right away. So therefore, staff finds the height and height of the individual components visually compatible. Pardon me. With regard to the rhythm of the buildings, so it's not uncommon, actually, especially when there's such a shallow side yard in this district for accessory structures to be in the side yard. So we feel that that accessory structure in the side yard is visually compatible. With regard to materials, so this is a rendering taken, it's facing southeast, so this is the corner of Barnard here, looking at the 10-foot wall proposed here. And this is literally all you can see of these accessory structures here. But we, because you could see some of the siding here, we did review that, and they are proposing a hardy shake. And we felt that was visually compatible because of the shake in the peak of the historic building here. So fences, as you can see, will be stucco. And the front fence here will have extruded aluminum in between, and we'll talk about that in a minute. With regard to design standards and mechanical equipment and refuse, so the site plan shows where, this is actually the landscaping plan, shows where they're going to put the pool equipment and the refuse storage, but it doesn't show where the electrical and mechanical equipment are, so we're recommending that be a condition. Excuse me. With regard to accessory structures, again, there's a standard that says that new accessory structures shall be located in the rear yard. And they've requested a special exception to locate the guest house in the side yard. And we'll go over the special exceptions at the end. Parking and paving, again, parking shall be located in the rear yard, except single and two family, which can be in the side yard behind the face of the front facade. This is obviously not behind the face of the front facade. And you can even see here that this is not even using the existing apron, which would be over here. Where lane access is not available, drive aisle shall be permitted from the street, provided it's a ribbon strip design. This is not a ribbon strip design, and obviously not planted between the ribbons with plants. Special exceptions are requested. With regard to standards for fences and walls, so a front yard fence is proposed to be a low stucco masonry wall with stucco piers with extruded aluminum between. It is proposed to be, just lost my page number, pardon me. It is proposed to be 4 feet tall, which the ordinance permits 3 feet tall. They're asking for a special exception for that. The side yard is proposed to have this masonry wall here. As I mentioned, this is the stucco wall here that they've requested an exception from, and this is the elevation of it. So with regard to this wall, staff is recommending adding an element of architectural articulation to this wall to sort of soften the overall look of the wall and make it more visually compatible with walls at this height. All right, so with regard to the special exception requests and the review criteria, there are two of them, and they will apply to all six of the special exceptions, so I am going to show you all of them. Whoops. While I discuss them. So here are the two criteria right here. So whether the use for which the special exception is being considered would be located, operated, and maintained in a manner in conformance with the goals, policies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan and the provisions of this ordinance. And the second criterion, whether the special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity. So we're going to use those two criteria to examine all six of the special exceptions. So the first one, new accessory structure shall be located in the rear yard. Staff recommends approval for this special exception to allow for the guest house to be constructed in the side yard. Again, it's not uncommon within the streetcar historic district to see larger properties with small rear yards to have buildings in the side yard. The accessory structure in the side yard is proposed to be minimally visible from the public right away and is screened from view by the proposed garden wall. staff has determined the construction of accessory structure in the side yard will not be detrimental. With regard to the standard about fences in the front yard not exceeding 3 feet in height, staff is recommending denial for this special exception. Staff has determined that the 4-foot tall fence is not visually compatible. So they actually provided us 2 renderings. So this is the 4-foot fence rendering, and this is the 3-foot high fence rendering, which meets the standard. Oops. So again, 4 feet, 3 feet. Staff is recommending denial. Staff finds that it detracts from the Belgian block foundation, which is a distinctive feature of the historic principal building. Staff has determined that the standard 3-foot tall fence that they're proposing, that's shown in this rendering and that meets the ordinance, is more visually compatible with the contributing buildings to which the front yard fence is related. Staff, of course, is recommending to reduce the height of the proposed front yard fence to a maximum of 3 feet. Special exception 3. Fences or walls no more than 8 feet in height may be installed within the side or rear yards behind the front facade of the building, and that's for this, to allow this fence here. Staff is recommending approval of this special exception. Garden wall is proposed to be 8 feet on either end and sloping up to a maximum of 10 feet in the center. This increase in height is to screen the accessory buildings in the side yard, and the garden wall will allow for the new accessory structures to be minimally visible from the public right away. Staff has determined that the construction of the 10-foot high fence in the side yard will not be detrimental to the public public interest, health, safety, and welfare. And then with regard to the 3 parking standards and the front yard parking, staff is recommending denial for all 3 of these special exceptions to allow for a parking area in the side yard forward of the front facade of the single-family dwelling, which is not a ribbon strip design. Staff has determined that there has been a trend in inappropriate vehicle access within the streetcar historic district in the past. That shouldn't be perpetuated. The current off-street parking in the front side yard that you can see here was done without a COA application or driveway permit. Without any further alterations to existing parking configurations, there are now 4 off-street parking spaces available for a single-family dwelling, significantly more than parking standards require, which is 1 off-street parking space. Staff has determined the construction of new off-street parking area that does not adhere to the standards would negatively impact the overall appearance of the general vicinity. Staff recommends that the illegal driveway and front side yard off-street parking be removed in their entirety. Staff is recommending the following. Approval for the construction of the 2 accessory structures, pool, garden walls, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for review and approval. 1, submit the location of the electric and HVAC and provide adequate screening. 2, add an element of architectural articulation to the stucco masonry garden wall. 3, reduce the height of the proposed front yard fence to a maximum of 3 feet. 4, remove the illegal driveway and side yard off-street parking in its entirety. We're also recommending approval for special exception for 2 of the standards, and that's new accessory structure shall be located in the rear yard, and fences or walls no more than 8 feet in height may be installed within the side yard. And that's to allow the guest house in the side yard and to allow for a 10-foot fence. And we're recommending denial, for a special exception for these 3 front yard parking standards, as well as for the standard regarding fences no more than 3 feet in height shall be installed within the front yard. And I know that is a lot of information, so if you have questions, please just let me know.
Is the petitioner present?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Would you please identify yourself and limit yourself to 10 minutes or less and address only those items inconsistent with the ordinance or questions raised by the board?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Tim Morneau. I'm representing Loretta Cockrum for our house at 2602 Barnard Street. First, I want to thank Leah and her team. They've been really great through all of this, and I appreciate all of y'all's time today. As for the requests that we're making, Leah, I do have locations for mechanical. They're just small mini splits, and they would be located at ground level behind in the backyard. You would never see them from public view. And I can share locations with you later. One would be over by the grilling station, and then the other would be between the guest house and the wall. Probably better to look at the site plan, not the landscaping plan. But if you like, rather than take up everybody's time with that, if that's a condition, we can easily solve that, and I can show you on a plan where that's going to occur. So for the parking, I know the parking in the front yard is an issue for staff. It was a client's understanding when they purchased the home because of the existing curb cut that parking was always allowed and was always part of that front side yard. So that's why they've always used it that way since they purchased the home. They did improve it because they didn't want to park on dirt. They were unaware that there were standards that needed to be met for that parking when it was done. They're more than happy to redo the parking to make sure that it meets the design standards for the district. By no means are we looking to create anything that is unsightly. So we're more than happy to redo that. We had asked to move the location of the curb cut to simplify the parking, reduce the amount of impervious pavement in the area, and just improve the overall aesthetics to the front of the house. That was a reason for reconfiguration of the parking. We're happy to leave the, if it suits the staff, we would be fine with keeping the existing curb cut and still improving the aesthetics and the design of that parking. Again, the parking, as far as we understand in our position, it's always been there. There's always been a curb cut. I mean, not since the beginning of the house, but definitely for quite some time. So there was always vehicular access on the side of this house and parking in the front. So that's why we're asking for that special exception. Now, as for item D, which is the front wall, the 4-foot wall that we are asking for, we do feel it's compatible and conform with the existing house. We're aware of the Belgian block, but the house is already up minimum 4 feet up off the ground. So we didn't feel like we were blocking the view. Anyone in the public view would still be able to see the architectural element of the Belgian block. Plus the wall that we are proposing is about 70% open. So it's not a complete visual barrier, we were asking for the special exception for 4 feet just to help improve on the security in the front of the house and to make that improvement. I think that was about it. Oh, and on the wall, the 10-foot wall that you are looking at here in the I know landscaping is not supposed to be part of your review process, but please note that we have a landscape plan in effect for this, and it is to be covered with a vine. We have looked at how to articulate that wall, but every scenario that I've looked at, like doing engaged piers, you know, doing maybe a wood trellis in front or how to articulate that, I think it becomes too busy and more distracting. And to me, the simplicity of the wall is probably more in keeping and less distracting and pulling focus on the front of the house. That's probably enough.
Thank you. Is there any public comment? Oh, yes. If you would like to make a comment, please raise your hand.
Ryan Arve.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation. This is a tough one. Our ARC committee has several concerns about the exceptions. We agree with staff in their recommended denial of those certain exceptions.
the wall. We believe that the parking in front of the house is a very suburban model. That which is there currently, that which is being proposed as inappropriate. But we also object to those exceptions that staff is actually recommending approval for, namely that of the location of the guest house and the pool house. If it's possible to get that site plan pulled up real quick again, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. We really feel keeping in consistent with the way that these houses and properties were traditionally developed, and that which is in which is consistent with the standards of the ordinance, that the guest house be moved to the rear of the property as much as possible, possibly even combining it with the pool house. If there was a way to do that, possibly by making it, I don't know as far as height, if that would be permitted or not. But we're possibly moving the pool up and having those structures closer to the corner of the property would seem to be more inconsistent. We really feel strongly that the ordinances are there for a reason, obviously, and should be upheld. And we really don't want to see any special exemptions for that as it pertains to this significant property. I think that's all I have. Just upholding those denials and possibly even considering denying the other special exceptions and moving those ancillary structures to the back of the property in the back corner and eliminating the off-street parking in the front. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, now we open it up to board discussion. There will be two rounds of 2 minutes each to ask questions of the or of staff or the petitioner. Ms. Fenwick. Mr. Lomanac.
I have a couple of things, and I'm glad the site plan is back up there. I personally don't have a problem with the guest house being built there. I don't understand why the guest house can't be the wall or incorporated in the wall that is that screen wall, why the second wall has to be there and popping up from 8 feet to 10 feet right in front of the guest house only screens it if you're directly in front of it. And if it's going to be so bad that we don't want to see it, maybe there's a problem there. Well, I mean, why screen it? If it's well designed, there's no reason to screen it. That was something that I didn't have a problem with. It's really a nice main house, and I think to build something on that vacant lot makes a lot of sense.
Thank you, Ms. Clark.
I do have one question, and I don't know if this would be for staff or for petitioner, because I know you're saying that the house has had significant renovations, but there was never any COA. Do we know how that came to be or kind of how we got to this point?
No, I couldn't find anything in the records. Like I said, there were no permits. There were no COAs. You may be able to ask the petitioner when the current owner purchased it. I don't know if, because I do know it was purchased by this owner not that long ago, but I don't know who did all the work. I do not.
Does the petitioner have any information to this question?
I believe they purchased the house around 2014 or 15. Work had already started on the house when and it was pretty significantly gutted when they purchased it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jones?
No comment. Ms. Clark's question cleared my question up.
Ms. Jackson Green?
No comments at this time.
Dr. Williams?
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to Jerry Lominack's question, because looking at this plan, we're left with a very narrow space between a wall and a wall. And so staff didn't answer Mr. Lominack's question, could the back wall, or rather the, I guess you'd call it the front wall, but relative to the pool, be the back wall of the guest house double as a screening wall?
I mean, that's not up to staff. That's not some kind of requirement in the ordinance or anything like that. So I think that's a better question for the petitioner.
And I'm happy to address that.
Sure.
I did look at that. Well, we did look at wanting, because, I mean, look, I don't want to build two walls. I would rather have one. But trying to maintain a screening for the guest house and making it more private and not visually intrusive on the front, right? So when we were looking at doing the house at sharing the wall, the problem was the roof. You're going to have an overhang and it's going to extend out over the wall. So from the street view, it no longer appears as a wall. It's going to appear as the back of a building. So I thought it was better aesthetically to separate the two, to maintain the allure and keep the front facade to itself and not be imposed upon by the accessory buildings behind it.
Right. And Madam Chairwoman, Rebecca Fenwick, you skipped over her. Somehow you couldn't hear her, so I recommend you go back to her in this first round.
I will. Ms. Wendell?
I have no comment.
Going back to Ms. Fenwick, do you have a comment, question, or concern?
Maybe she could type it into the chat.
She is apparently not appearing to say anything, Dr. Williams.
She just, if you confer with the chat, she is communicating with you via chat.
Has she been able to type in her question or concern?
Rebecca, if you have a specific question, would you mind just typing it in for now? She has no comments.
Mr. Lominack, we're on the second round.
I was kind of disturbed to hear that the building is not going to be, it's not going to look good if you see it. So the wall, that seems like a bad justification for building the wall, is to hide a building because the building's going to be bad looking. I would think that maybe the building needs to be resolved better and can incorporate the wall as part of the building.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Ms. Fenwick, is that you?
Oh, hey. That's Hi. Amazing. I'm not doing anything differently right now. I don't know why it's working, but I'm happy it is. sorry. I have a lot of the same thoughts as other folks, and I would say, too, that I wish to have the accessory buildings be on the rear of the lot, and I find the 10-foot wall obtrusive, and particularly as a blank wall. And I think as far as how to accentuate it, it would be best if, you know, if the wall has to be that there be masonry openings with inset mesh that vines could grow on, or some sort of interruption of all of that masonry. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm glad to have you back. Ms. Clark.
I don't think I have any additional comments at the moment.
Mr. Jones.
Nothing further.
Ms. Jackson Green?
I have no comments at this time.
Dr. Williams?
No further comments.
Ms. Swindell?
I don't have anything extra, but I do agree with Ms. Rebecca about the wall. I do think it would be intrusive, but otherwise I don't have any other comment.
Okay. I have a question of staff. You have in your recommendations the of the special exceptions, the approval of the 10-foot wall. Can we take that out of the staff recommendation and deny that?
You can do whatever you all decide to do. Yes.
Okay. Are there no other comments from the board? I would ask for a motion. Can someone please give me a motion?
I would like to make a motion to approve. I'm sorry. to approve. I'm sorry.
Okay. Can you please state your name?
Haley Swindell, and I'd like to make a motion to approve with the exception of the wall staff recommendation. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
The 10-foot wall?
Yes. Yes, the 10-foot wall.
Do I have a second to the motion?
Kendra Clark, I second that motion.
Can you bring up the staff report, please, recommendations, please? No. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Is there any discussion on the motion?
So,
I'm sorry.
This is Rebecca Fenwick. So with this motion, then we are allowing the accessory structures in the location that they are proposed. Is that correct?
Yes, but we are taking out where the staff had recommended approval of the 10-foot garden wall. We are taking that out and moving it down to the denial.
Okay.
I do have some discussion because I think we've got a different petition once we take that wall out, because now that side of the guest house is the facade that we see.
Well, they will have to come back for a COA on the facade that will be seen from the street.
That would be the case.
Correct. He's correct. This motion is for approval of that work. If you want them to come back, it'd have to be for a continuance.
Even if we deny the 10-foot fence?
Yeah, because you're approving the rest of the project. So, I mean, I would recommend, I can't tell you all how to vote, but if you want them to come back once that 10-foot wall is gone, if you want them to come back to show you what would be there instead, I think you want a continuance to make the changes and come back, right?
I would think a continuance would be appropriate, but don't they have to request one?
Not anymore. That changed with the new zoning ordinance. Oh, okay. Yep, you all can continue a petition without their concurrence.
So we would deny this petition. We would deny to do that. This motion that's on the floor now would be denied, and then we would make another motion to grant a continuance.
Yeah, I mean, it's already been first and seconded, so you have to follow through with this one. And if it passes,
and we ask that it be rescinded and a new motion,
of course. If
Ms. Swindell
and Kendra
and Ms. Clark. Would you consider rescinding your motion and making a motion to continue this item to our next meeting or a date certain?
This is Kendra Clark. I approve rescinding the motion and continuing it to the next meeting.
This is Haley Swindle. I also approve to rescind the motion and move this to a continuous to our next meeting.
Okay, I will go through the list and ask for a vote, please. Ms. Fenwick?
Approve.
Mr. Lomanac?
Approve.
Ms. Clark?
Approve.
Mr. Jones?
Approve.
Ms. Jackson Green?
Approve.
Ms. Dr. Williams?
Approve.
Ms. Wendell?
Approved.
Ms. Mobley? Approved. Thank you very much. We will move on to number 16, 2309 Drayton Street. Staff, would you make a your presentation, please?
Yes, I just need to figure out which one of these is. There it is. All right. The applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation and alterations for the property located at 2309 Drayton Street. The proposed work, well, I'm going to show you the photos of the existing building. So this is, it's obviously on an intersection and is obviously a historic corner store building form. The proposed work includes repairs and in-kind replacement throughout the exterior, such as missing eave brackets, soffit siding, balcony railings, new shutters using the existing shutter hinges, 3 previously infilled window openings will be covered with shutters fixed in the closed position, so 1, 2, 3. 2 previously infilled door openings will remain infilled, 1, 2. This corner, just FYI, the majority of this facade is not visible. This is the west facade. 1 new opening will be installed on the east facade here, which right now is not siding. So they're not even truly punching an opening in siding or anything, because that's that area right there, just to clarify. Alter a window opening into a door opening on the rear facade. That is the one here. Add a new rear deck with a spiral staircase accessed by that new door opening. New storefront base, and a recessed entry. And a new 6-foot-high brick fence to enclose the Drayton Street rear yard with a 36-inch wide access door. The historic building was constructed in 1899 and is a contributing resource. The corner store building with residents on the second floor was remodeled in the 1960s, particularly the storefront areas on the ground floor, obviously. The original storefront was removed at this time. Neither staff nor the applicant, in addition to Historic Savannah, who has worked on this project in the past, none of us could locate any historic photos of the original storefront configuration, and the Sanborn maps, unfortunately, don't give any indication of it either. It's very generic, as you can see here. Physical evidence, though, inside of the building on the original ceiling indicates that there was a recessed entrance on 40th Street. Let me go to the floor plan quickly. And this is it here that they're proposing recreation. This follows the design of the what the recessed would have been in the ceiling. That's still there. So we know that that was there. All historic windows on the second floor are intact, and they've actually recently been restored. With regard to the base zoning standards, this is the closest we have to a site plan. Side yard setbacks are required to be a max of 5 and rear yards a minimum of 20. So we need to ensure that this new deck that's proposed, that those setbacks are met. So we need that information. With regard to the preservation standards, the preservation standards staff determines are met. Historic features are proposed to be repaired in kind. Where deteriorated beyond repair or missing altogether, they will match in materials and design. The storefront design and the deck addition design are compatible with the design of the historic building, but also differentiated and do not create a false sense of historical development. Minimal historic materials proposed to be removed, again, where one window is proposed to be changed to a door so the width is to remain. So the only loss of material is this small area of siding here. The plywood infill on the first floor where the storefront is proposed to be has not gained historic significance, and all new work is reversible. Shutter specification wasn't provided. Staff is asking for that, and obviously to ensure the standards are met, that their shutters are wood, size to fit the opening, operable, and have a horizontal rail. With regard to storefronts, again, just information wasn't provided. We need to ensure that the storefront is inset a minimum of 4 inches from the face of the building. And with regard to mechanical equipment and refuse storage, that, again, just wasn't indicated on the plan, so we don't know where the electrical, refuse, storage, mechanical equipment, or, you know, those sorts of things are going to be located. We want to ensure those standards are met. And no information was provided regarding vehicle access, where that's going to be from, so we need to know that to make sure that that's in an appropriate location per the ordinance. So staff is recommending approval. With the following conditions to be submitted to staff. One, ensure the side and rear yard setback standards are met from the new deck. Provide the shutter specification, ensure the standards are met. Ensure the storefront glazing is inset a minimum of 4 inches. Four, provide the locations for the electrical meter, HVAC equipment, refuse storage, ensure that those standards are met. And provide information regarding parking locations, ensure that the parking vehicular access standards are met. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Is the petitioner present?
Yes. This is Matthew Hallett.
We ask that you limit your comments to 10 minutes or less and address only those items indicated as inconsistent with the ordinance and any questions raised by the board. Thank you. Please identify yourself.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairwoman. This is Matthew Hallett. Starting with the setbacks, yes, we'll make sure we will get the survey, the revised site plan to you. That's no problem. I'm sorry I overlooked the shutter specifications, but yes, there'll be wood shutters mounted on the original hinges, and they will hit the center rail. Storefront glazing will be set back 4 inches. We're getting custom wood frames built from Sapele, and they'll be set back per the ordinance. All the electrical and plumbing is being engineered right now, so I will get that submitted. And let's see, I'll get the final site plan with parking, et cetera, submitted to you.
Is that your full comment?
I think so. I mean, we're really excited about the project. The homeowner is very excited about the project. I think it's going to look fantastic when it's finished. Everyone I've spoken to seems to be interested in the project.
Is there any public comment? Please, if so, please raise your hand and identify yourself. Hearing no public comment, I'll go to the board. We will have two rounds of 2 minutes each. Ms. Fenwick?
No comments.
Mr. Lominac?
No comment.
Ms. Clark?
No comment.
Mr. Jones?
No comment.
Ms. Jackson Green?
No comment.
Dr. Williams?
No comment other than to say this is overdue, and congratulations to Mr. Hallett for an excellent project.
Thank you.
Ms. Swindell?
No comment.
Hearing no comment or questions from the board, I will move and ask for a motion, please.
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I motion to approve the project at 2309 Drayton Street, including staff's conditions.
Robin Williams, I second the motion.
Thank you. I will ask for a vote now. Ms. Fenwick?
Approve.
Mr. Lomanac?
Approve.
Ms. Clark?
Approve.
Mr. Jones?
Approved.
Ms. Jackson-Green?
Approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
Ms. Swindell? Ms. Swindell, did we lose you? Ms. Swindell, did you self-mute?
I'm sorry. I think I did.
Okay.
Both to approve. I apologize.
Thank you. Virginia Mobley, approve. Thank you. That concludes our regular agenda, and we will move on to any notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments. Do we have any from the staff?
No, ma'am.
Hearing none, we will move on to other business. Is there any additional business that we need to address?
Just the two items that I have there under new business.
Please note under new business the change of the November meeting. For the pre-meeting has been changed to November the 23rd, 2020 at 2:30, and the regular meeting will be on the same day of November the 23rd at 3. The meeting for December the 23rd, has been moved to December 21. Both meetings will take place on that day. Any discussion or questions? Do I have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said about the date changes. I'm not quite clear.
Okay. Because of Thanksgiving, the meeting that was scheduled for November the 25th will be changed to November the 23rd. And because of Christmas, December the 23rd meeting will be changed to December 21.
All right. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Do I have a second on the adjournment?
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
Thank you. All in favor, please let us go through the list. I have to do that now because we're virtual. Ms. Fenwick.
You actually don't for adjournment.
I don't?
No. Nope.
Okay. The meeting is so adjourned, and we will see you next month. And I thank you all for your participation.